praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one, and appreciate those that's come out tonight. No announcements tonight. Isn't God good? Praise the Lord. I want to, maybe we could turn to Exodus just for a few verses. There's lots of verses you can read on these subjects. And it's a big subject, the high priest garments. And I'll just mention a few things tonight. And it's hard to remember, you know, when I go back in what different things I have preached on it, I can't even remember myself. But I just trust I'll say something that'll encourage you, bless you. That's what I want to do, praise the Lord. Exodus 28. Let's read just a few verses from chapter 28, verse 1 of Exodus 28. Take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ahiamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, and for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with a spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, and for his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulders pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest on the other stone according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in the stone, like engravings of a signet, shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel. Thou shalt make them to be set in the ouches of gold, and thou shalt put two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt make ouches of gold, and two chains of pure gold at the ends of the wreathen work shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. Praise the Lord. And I don't know if I've said all them names right, but let's bow our heads again tonight. Praise the Lord. And if you have a need or anything, let's just pray and remember the Lord tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight in Jesus' precious name. We thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, Lord Jesus. Father, as we come this evening, many of us have come maybe from a busy day or stressful day, but we come afresh to you, Lord Jesus, and we ask you that you'll wash us and cleanse us afresh in the blood of Jesus Christ, that you'll sanctify us afresh, that you'll fill us afresh, that you'll anoint us, everyone, afresh. Lord, I just take the Holy Spirit right now to help me in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I need your help. I pray that you'll bind every spirit of the enemy, and I pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. I pray that consecrate this room right now. I take charge over every demon and devil power by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Father, just pray that you'll have your way tonight and speak to our hearts and moving our lives afresh, close us in with yourself for time tonight. And Lord, it's already been praying for beyond the island, especially tonight, that you'll touch our Lord Jesus and grant her mercy, Lord, tonight on our body and heal her, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, we plead your blood upon her. We ask for healing upon her. It's been paid for 2,000 years ago. With your wounds, your stripes, she's healed. But we claim it upon her tonight in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we lift again before you Jamie Lee, and we pray you'll continue to touch him and minister on him and even speak to him and bless him and his whole wee family, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we pray for others tonight that's backslidden, that you'll move upon them. Each one that's been mentioned tonight, our brother George, Andrea, Lord Davy West and his dad, moving each and every one of them. And for Israel tonight, we pray for Israel again. We'll lift Israel before you. We pray, Lord, that the holes that's been dug from the enemy themselves will fall in. But you'll save your people in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless your word to their hearts and grant us your wisdom and your guidance. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And Lord, for the hands raised and the secret prayers prayed, we pray you'll meet every single need. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one tonight. I just want to talk for a few moments about the robe, and maybe between sharing scriptures, or Brother Matthew, I'll find this. I don't know if I've showed this picture of the high priest before or not, but this one, if Matthew can put it up, it's the most realistic one till what they were dressed like. There's it now. That's the most realistic one, and I can't do it justice tonight. Everything that high priest is wearing, I cannot do it justice tonight. There's a lot of things I'm going to be missing out because I wouldn't have time to do it all. But I'll tell you, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's actually beautiful. Them garments are beautiful. Now, maybe you mightn't think that, but I think that. And I've been preaching for a few years now, and I am still fascinated with the tabernacle, and the high priest garments, and all these things. They fascinate me. And when I start to study it and read about it, there's something about it. It just does something for me. Because I see the Lord in all these things. I see the Lord Jesus Christ in everything. And I just want to firstly mention about the robe tonight. The robe of the high priest and its belts, the sash. And you see the sash on him here. And it was made of a finely woven fabric. And the spotless white of the cotton, we mentioned it the other night, was of the finest possible quality. And it could not be imitated. This was the real thing. And I mentioned what some believe that it's not woven as such. There's another name for it in the Greek. I didn't get time to write all that out, but I did look at it. And they say that they could do things back here, which we would find difficult to do it now. It's so tightly done. And, you know, this also illustrates for us the personal perfection and the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That he is the just one, and he's given this title of honor 7 times in the New Testament. He's given the title of honor to the Lord. And there's so many things about the Lord. If you take the Lord's names, and you could go into all the meanings of different names and everything. But Jesus Christ tonight, we know, is our high priest. He's our high priest tonight. And he's seated at the right hand of God in heaven, at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we have a perfect man tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ. A fact of immeasurable significance, I'm going to say tonight, because there's nothing else can measure up to it. And this is impressive, and it has to be, because you remember that all these instructions to make these garments and to make this tabernacle were given to Moses. And not anybody could just jump in and do it. Every one of these men were chosen and picked by God. They were God's hand-picked servants, and they were anointed to do the specific works they'd done. They were anointed to do them. And the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed to do the work he'd done. And he'd done a work that no other could do. And we are presented before God by a glorified man tonight, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in him, God was fully pleased. Hebrews 7, verse 26. For such an high priest became us, who's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Then if you were to go to Hebrews 4, 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, his intercession, his petition for us before the majesty of God on high is so important tonight. And it's so wonderful that in the all that we see about the Lord and how wonderful and perfect he is, yet we have an open access to come to him. And he hears us and he answers us and he intercedes for us. And he represents me and you tonight in heaven. Now, there's a lot of people that's proud that they're maybe represented in some lodge or they're represented in some organization. But we have a representation tonight that's higher than all. A representation because we've took his name and we're part of the family of God because we're born again. And Corinthians says we've been baptized by one spirit in the one mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's not different bodies, there's one body tonight. The coat also here, and we see in this coat, and if our brother can put it up in between, the coat of the high priest was entirely blue. Now I mentioned the other night about the white one, but when you see this one here, with all these colors and all, this is a different priest from those other priests. There was the basic priest, let's just say the basic priest, he wore the white, that was it. He couldn't wear these. But then there was those that wore all these garments. Right down to the pomegranates and the bells on the bottom of the garments. And every single one of these things, the pomegranate speaks of the fruit, don't they? And the Lord wants us to have fruit tonight. And the bells and everything, my, there's so many things in it. And the Urim and Thummim, I won't have time to go into all that tonight. But this coat of blue, entirely blue, and this again is a reference to the heavenly origin of the Lord Jesus Christ, the character and ministry of the Savior. Because the Lord is from heaven, and when you see the blue, you're thinking of the heaven. And when you're thinking of the heaven, you should be thinking of the Lord. Praise God. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. All things are made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that's made, for he is the beginning and creation of God. And Adam was of the earth, earthly, but this man is the Lord from heaven, and he's heavenly. And as we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Just as the Lord was glorified and changed, we're going to be changed. Praise God. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. We're going to be transformed and totally changed. He came from heaven and he's gone back to heaven. Isn't that wonderful? You remember when they were talking to him and he said, before Moses was I am. And they said, you're not yet 50. How could you be before Moses? And he said, before Moses was I am. Then he prays and he says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world began. He was in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? So I tell you, you see, this is why when people talk about somebody that's on a level with Jesus, you're right if you wag your head at it because you know it's totally wrong. It's impossible. You see, because the Lord's absolutely unique. And just as only the Pacific priest could wear all these garments, we have a Pacific priest tonight. And he's specifically dressed. And all the different things about him is specific. And they're from God. He represents the heavenly people whom he will lead to glory, to the place determined not by you and me, but God. 1 Corinthians 15:47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So if you want the scripture for this, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. Now, I have only a few notes down on these bells and pomegranates, but I could say a lot more on it, but I don't want to take too much time. I want us to have time to pray and get out early tonight. But these bells of pure gold portray his testimony. They were fastened to the bottom of the garment alternatively with the pomegranates, and you could see it in the picture, Matthew, the ringing of the golden bells is a sound from the heavenly tabernacle. Now, I want you to think of this earthly priest here for a moment. This earthly priest had to be careful that he followed all the law of Moses and every single step and the washings. There was a whole ritual of stuff he had to do. And when he went in to the holiest of holies place to sacrifice, he had a sacrifice for himself before he could enter. They tied a rope on his ankle. Because if he went in, they listened for them bells. As he went in walking, they could hear the bells. You ever see the wee cows? Switzerland, they have a lot of cows with the wee bells on them. Maybe here, some places have as well. And you hear the wee bells going. As I remember years ago in Switzerland, and the wee cows were going, the bells, and the near could play a tune with the different bells. Well, here this priest, you could hear these bells going. But if them bells stopped and became silent, that priest there was dead. Even though it didn't matter what lineage he was off, he was dead. If there was one wee thing off that he had missed, he was dead. And hence that's why the rope was on his ankle. Nobody else dare go in, they'd have dropped dead anyhow. And they had to pull him out. They daren't go in to the holiest of holy. No other person could go in. Only the chosen priest could go in. And the Lord Jesus Christ went in to heaven itself. And the bells are ringing in heaven. And they're ringing that the entrance has been made. And the way has been made into the holiest of holy. And it doesn't matter what type of day have you had or week have you had. When you pray, when you humble yourself, and you take on your lips the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, you have an open access to the Father because you have a high priest that represents you. And he represents you in the highest place at the right hand of the majesty in high. And he rules the highest office. And he has supreme authority over all. Every devil, every demon, and every power. And remember, every knee shall bow to them and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that right? The pure gold out of which the bells are made testify to Christ's deity and the witness of his love. And it testifies of his deity. When you think of the gold and the wee thing in his head and everything, God was in Christ. Jesus was a man. And yet he was God. And Spurgeon said it so well when he said he is the God-man. And I like that, how Spurgeon says it. He is the God-man. He's both man and he's both God. He's the God-man because God was in him, reconciling the world on himself. And the world could not be saved outside of Christ. It's not wonderful. Only Jesus can save. Aren't you glad he came to save no one but sinners? On the day of Pentecost, 10 days after the ascension of the risen Lord, the people of Jerusalem had an unusual existence. A message from heaven was heard, answering to the sound of the golden bells. That's what it was. Answering to them golden bells. The Holy Spirit witnessed of the glorified Christ. They witnessed because when the bells rang in heaven, the Holy Spirit was sent. The promise of the Father was sent. God was pleased. But what had happened? God was pleased with what had took place. And 3,000 people were moved in their hearts by the sound and accepted salvation in Jesus Christ. They were talking about the baptism and all, and we believe that. But the most important thing about Pentecost is not the baptism. It's about people getting saved. Do you realize that's the most important thing about it? It was the souls that were saved was the most important thing. And those apostles were filled so that they could go as Jesus went. As the Father sent me, so send I you. That's what's important about it, is people getting saved. Look at these pomegranates with their pronounced richness and seeds are the splendid picture of the incorporeal fruitfulness and the vigor of life from the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful and fruitful in his ministry for us even now. He's ministering for us in complete glory as he illustrated by the three colors. The Lord from heaven, the blue. And you take the purple tonight, it's his royalty. And the white speaks of his righteousness. We know all them colors, don't we? And the red, the blood. You see, these wonderful varied fruits were produced by the first Christian at Pentecost, weren't they? They were produced by the first Christian. One could see in them the fullness of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were filled with His love. They loved each other. They loved one another, didn't they? And we ought to love one another to the amazement of those around them. They were gifted by supernatural language. Their actions was completely changed. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Heavenly life, a royal burn. I tell you, these were new people. That's really what they were. They were new people, and we're new people. Because the Bible says old things pass away, and all things become new when you get born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But also there was a readiness to suffer. And where it was apparent in them, wasn't it? Many of them suffered for the Lord. But a happy life of fellowship came into being and continued amongst them. Philippians 1:11. Here's what it says. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ done to the glory and the praise of God. The fruits of righteousness. That's what we need tonight. That's what we want tonight. We want the fruits of righteousness. Now look at this ePod. And I read this in a reading tonight. The ePod consisted of two shoulder pieces. And maybe a brother can put it up. Two shoulder pieces that were fastened together and reached nearly to the knees. And some of the photos don't do it justice, because the wee skirt or whatever you want, where you want to look at it, that it on them is too high. When you read the Bible, it goes right below the knee. And here you see that's coming from the shoulders right down and going right below the knee. And the yarn of which was made was bright with the colors blue, purple, and scarlet. Blue, the Lord from heaven. Purple, royalty. And the scarlet's the red blood of Jesus. Also white bass was present. And the embroidered cloth was woven with the threads of the beaten gold. Think of that. So they beat the gold out so fine it become a thread. And it all was woven with a golden thread, because all through his garments, see, you hear me now? All through his garments, from his shoulders right down him, the sashes, everything, the gold's through him everywhere. You see, God's all through him. God's all in him. Amen. Hence, John says he never received the spirit by measure, but in fullness. Praise God. And it's all through him. And that gold was beaten flat and made into a wee thread and woven, everything's woven. You see, because it's God's work at the end of the day. It's not our work, or it's not man's work. It's God's work. And even when the Lord comes again, only God will know that. And he says that no man knoweth the day they are, only the Father. But I tell you this, the whole was a type of the nature of the Son of God and his high priestly honor, a picture of divine glory. God bestowed this honor on him only because the Lord Jesus bore the judgment on the cross, and because he arose after he bore the judgment. On the third day he rose. The psalmist David said, I will not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. God raised him up. He raised him up, and he never saw corruption. Hebrews 5, verse 5 and 6. And just a few wee scriptures to read. Hebrews 5, verse 5 and 6. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son. So you see, this is God's doing, all this. Today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. And know why you're reading that, because when you're reading that after the order of Melchizedek, you are reading about the highest order there is. The highest order there is after the order of Melchizedek, who had no father, no mother, no ascent, no descent. I'll tell you, it's not wonderful. And you know, when you look what the Lord said about Aaron, the high priest, in 1 Samuel 2:28, and did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to, and think of Christ and think of this scripture, 1 Samuel 2:28. And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? And God is telling you that he picked Aaron to do this, and Jesus Christ was picked to do it, and none other can do it. I tell you, I've seen that fellow on again, one of them sites, and they've started out now as Jehovah. And then they gave a second name in. I was going to comment on it, and the voice said, "Hit me. Let them that's filthy be filthy still. Don't say a word." And there's a Norman as well. You know who I'm talking about. And I believe he's mixed up. And I don't even want to go into it. But I was going to comment, and someone said to me, "Leave it. Don't even say a word. Let him that's filthy." Do you realize there's people that have claimed they have greater revelation than anybody else? And they're absolutely deceived. More than all that they ever talked about, they are deceived. Because they put someone else in the place of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you tonight, I don't care what group it is, or what revelation they have, or what visitation they've had in the past. If they put anything in front of this high priest I'm preaching about, the Lord Jesus Christ, they're false. And they can pull the stars out of the heaven, and they can do whatever they want. That will make no difference. They're false. Because God says, "I will not give my glory to another." And we shouldn't give our praise or our adoration to no other man. There's no other man worthy it. It was the Lord Jesus that saved you. It was the Lord Jesus that saved me. When we were far away, filthy and unclean, he came for us. He came seeking, and he came to save. Today, the people of Israel are characterized by a prophecy of the utmost importance in Hosea 3, verse 4 to 5. "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim." And I tell you, that's not what's happening. Israel has been without it for so long, but they're going to turn back to the Lord. They're going to try and get the worship back the way it once was. Amen. But we know this is speaking to us of a higher order, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an earthly thing no more. But they don't see it the way we see it because they've been blinded. But now the Gentiles has been blinded. I'm going to close. I'm going to come to close. Let me just read you these few statements, then I'm going to come to close. "They have no high priest who could enter into the beauty of the ephod before God for them. They are a people without an ephod because they rejected the true heavenly sent one of God. The tragic consequences of this decision are clearly placed before us, and the consequences of Israel must go through the terrible judgments." That's what's going to happen. "And in spite of this, God signed a covenant and promise to his early people through his Hosea 3, verse 5, "Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." And David is the greater David. We know that. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to turn back to God. But while we have eyesight tonight, and the eyes are, and they're blinded, but the light, the light the Gentiles has is dimming. I'm not saying the Lord's dimming. Get this right. What I mean is the time scale is coming to a close, and God's going to turn back to them Jews. And there's going to be a catching up take place anytime. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. Let's come and let's pray tonight. Praise God. The Lord bless you this evening. Praise God. Don't forget Sunday morning. If anyone's a wee testimony or wants to share a song or anything, and I want you to feel free to do that. Now maybe just bring a wee short message. There's no rules on it. If the time goes, it goes, and we'll just pray the Lord will have his way. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've showed toward each one of us. Lord, you are our high priest tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you're touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And Father, we come to you tonight. We seek your face tonight. We call upon your lovely name tonight. And Lord, we know that your name is as ointment poured forth. And we speak your name over your people, over those who are sick tonight, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, will you visit us in this meeting? Will you visit us if thou wouldst tarry to Sunday? inspire a brother or sister with a testimony. Lord, will you come down amongst us in a special way and stir up the gifts. Lord God, help us to use the things you've given us. Give us courage and grace and keep us at this hour of great evil on the earth. Just have your way in our lives, I pray. Bless each one tonight. Bless some others that maybe had to work or couldn't be here. The nurses, bless them. The doctors, all those in authority, grant wisdom and guidance. And have your way in our lives, we pray, as we acknowledge you in all the ways. Ask again for the husband, for the wife, for the son, for the daughter that's still not saved. Lord, will you remember our children as our brothers already prayed? Will you have mercy upon them? Will you speak to them again? Will you move them again? And will you save them, I pray, and cover them with your precious blood? In Jesus' precious name. And Lord, deal with your own people. Give us all a greater hunger. Give us all a greater thirst to seek after you and serve you. And Lord, I do pray for the young people that come to these meetings so faithfully and play these instruments. I bless them in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And I'm asking that your hand will be upon them and you'll mightily use them and mightily keep them all the days of their life. Oh, Father, just have your way upon them. And Lord, just move, we pray. And bring other youth into this assembly of praying. Father, just revive us. We need a real reviving, Lord Jesus. Revive us in the midst of the years. Father, may there be new births in this place, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. We can save nobody. But we pray that you'll add to your work such as should be saved. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Father, grant it now as we wait upon you tonight. Help us to thank you and seek you. And we thank you for all your provision, for all your goodness, for all your mercy till each one of us, Lord, many times when it looked like things were going to go the wrong road, but you turned it around for us, Lord. You were merciful till us. You were good till us. Lord, how we praise you for it. And give you all the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Lord, have your way, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it tonight. Amen. Amen. God bless you as we just seek the Lord this evening.